Hello everyone, this is Mrs. Green and this is our second edition of Do These Books Talk? It has been a very interesting month and I know it's been on hiatus a little bit and I do apologize about that. And we are having a little bit of a shortage of some teachers due to just the world today. I've been able to step in some classrooms and do some teaching again. It's been a lot of fun. Get to kind of go through and do something that I really enjoy with the collaboration of the teachers and being able to teach the students. So I do apologize though about my hiatus on here. So I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit today. You know, COVID is on the rise. We do know that. We see it every day. Cases are spiking. But I wanted to talk not about that, but about how to talk to the students on how to deal with some of the things that are going on that they may see in their lives, people that are home. I think in the beginning when everybody started, there was definitely a lot of people being worried and almost taboo if you had become, you know, positive case. And I think that we look at it now as it's not a taboo subject. It's just trying to make sure that you're safe. You know, we understand now a little bit more about it. I'm following the guidelines that we can. In this, where we are, we actually have K-5 students back in classes, no social distancing. It's been a little interesting, but I think it has worked. The teachers, I'm very impressed with how they've been. More so, I want to say I'm impressed with the students. You know, they understand that they have to wear their masks. They understand about the hand sanitizers and washing their hands. They're following it. And even at the middle school and the high school level, I'm watching these students, their desire to learn has not waned at all. They're actually doing a lot better now. I believe being in school, they're not back full time. They still have a 6-foot mandatory distance with masks. But the students are really, really doing the right thing, have really not had the trouble. So I'm hoping across the nation that everybody is seeing that, where the students are doing the right thing and following it. I think that sometimes we don't give enough credit to our students, and we need to do that because I think they can be great examples for what we all need to do. Moving on from there, I want to talk a little bit today about information seeking. How do you find information? And when you find that information, how do you fact check? Because I think that's one of the most important tools that anyone can have, whether you're a student or an adult, is to fact check. It's very important due to the fact that we have many news places that may or may not tell the whole story. I think about way back when, before we had, you know, a million different channels and we had just basic cable, you really had three different stations to look at. And from there, when you had to fact check, you would go to newspapers. You would actually look through there. How do you teach your students to do fact checking? So a lot of times, the way I do it, I'll take them through a pro-con website. I might take them through and, you know, if they're really stuck, start with Wikipedia. It's not my favorite, only because I know it is a site that other people can go ahead and change things on. But I do have them start there to get a general idea. And then we go through and we might go to Britannica or we might go to Snopes.com if it's some recent thing that we're looking at. But since I do the history, a lot of times we can go through Britannica or World Book Online. And go down through kids' encyclopedias, things like that. So I think that in doing that, you're teaching the students to take something and make sure that it is actually the truth, not to spread something that is considered a rumor or incorrect. I think that students start to, when they start small with that, with like the history pieces as we're dealing with right now, we're doing it, the Enlightenment and the Reformation, revolutions, and checking for the information being correct, it teaches them to look at things critically. And I think that being able to read something and say, I'm not really sure if that's right, is so important for any student to learn and to take through with them throughout the rest of their educational career and even into their life. I think that throughout life, we have to look at pieces that may or may not be happening that could be false information given to us by somebody else. I think that in teaching a child, especially one in middle school, to critically think, to look at things from different angles, to make sure that the information that they have is correct, can actually help them even throughout looking at literature and looking at science, you know, the hypothetical ability to guess. I guess not necessarily the hypothetical ability, but the ability to hypothetically guess is huge. Students need to be able to think for themselves, to be able to form an opinion based on facts. And I think that's one of the things that is so important to teach our students. We are teaching the students right now about the Enlightenment and where ideas came from and how these ideas sparked conversations and revolutions across the world and throughout time. And I loved when we started with innovations and inventions, and it was really fun to see the students research a little bit about those and to kind of come up with some questions. So they had to present their inventor and inventions, and the best question I had at the end of all this, as we were looking through and the students were, you know, talking about their different people and why they thought the inventor might have invented this, one of the students said, "Mrs. Green, why aren't tennis shoes made actually out of tennis balls?" And I, at that point, I realized that those students are starting to think outside the box. It is seems like a silly question, but maybe they are. But my response to him, instead of trying to make a huge explanation or try to give him false information, I truly responded, "You know what? I don't know. And maybe they are, but I still don't know. So let's look and try to research and find, are they? Are they not? Or maybe can we figure a way how to do this?" And the student has now for the last couple days looked up and trying to see if he could actually figure this out and create something like this. And I think that's our goal as an educator, as a teacher to any age. For me as a librarian and helping them to learn how they work and how they can create something. I do believe that at one point this student will come up with a design and probably make them. Moving on to author visits, and that was one of the things that my students are very much enjoy. They do very much enjoy is my author visits. We've had a couple virtual authors in the last month, and we had Scott Rankin and Jennifer Nielsen. They both Skyped in with us. It was really, really interesting to watch the students on this Zoom, you know, hundreds of them that were able to log in. Scott was able to address our 3rd to 5th graders and our 6th to 8th graders, and Jennifer Nielsen was able to address our 5th through 8th graders. It was really wonderful to see the students react and ask questions. And really, it was fun to watch as one person asked a question, everybody else got a little braver and started asking other questions. Jennifer Nielsen was really able to tell them, you know, why she chose to do things and why she chose certain characters. The authors really enjoyed it as well, the students asking questions, because it really made them think about, you know, from a kid's perspective. I was able to speak with one of the authors, Scott, before and after the actual visit with the students. And he said it was really, you know, when you listen to the different students for the different ages, their questions that they ask, you don't expect sometimes a 3rd grader to ask what was your inspiration for creating a certain character, you know, and you think that would be more of a 6th to 8th grade. And he said it was really neat. And they asked some really thoughtful questions. I enjoyed both of them. I really wish I could put it on here. I'm going to try to figure out a way to do that. Jennifer Nielsen
has written numerous books. The students really have enjoyed reading her. She actually talked about the one that she wrote, which was A Night Divided. And she had conversations with people before she had written it about the Berlin Wall. And why had no one actually ever written a book about the Berlin Wall? And I thought that was really neat that she's looking to write about certain places and time periods that may not have a lot of focus on it. Her Words on Fire is about the Lithuanian book smuggling, where they were trying to smuggle the books out of Lithuania, have them copied by handwritten, and then being brought back in because they were afraid, the people of Lithuania were afraid that their culture, their language was going to be erased by the Russian people that had taken over. And so it's really, really neat. I had never read that. And being a history teacher, I had never read about that as well. So that was really interesting to read. It was funny, Scott Rankin actually made the comment. He says, you know, my wife and I, he said, the way my brain works, my wife and I were sitting there one day and we were looking at, you know, this just on the top of the mountain somewhere. We were beautiful. You know, just look at the view. And, you know, his wife was like, hey, what are you thinking about? And his response, I can't remember the exact words, but it was basically trying to figure out if aliens came down and started doing something, how do we escape? You know, something along that line, something just odd. And he said, why, what are you thinking about? And she's like, the flowers, you know, and he says it's his brain just constantly comes up with these stories and comes up with all these different things. And he says, I have to write them down. So he publishes about a book a year. If you ever get a chance to read him, definitely do. I've really enjoyed reading Saving Fables, Nixia, the really, really good ones. I've really enjoyed those. Some other books that I actually wanted to talk to you guys about today. These are along the lines of Jennifer Nielsen's Words on Fire and her Night Divided. It's called Ghosts in the Fog. And it is the untold story of Alaska's World War II invasion, written by Samantha Seiple, S-E-I-P-L-E. And I thought it was really interesting because I did not know that Alaska had been invaded. Again, as a history teacher, I'm pretty disappointed that I did not. But I thought it was really interesting. And it says on the back cover, few know the story of the Japanese invasion of Alaska during World War II until now. And it was May 14th, 1942, Pearl Harbor, Oahu, Hawaii, 5 months and 1 week after the Japanese attack. A soldier stood with a loaded gun in front of a locked steel door. He was guarding the secrets buried below from spies and thieves. No one was allowed to talk about what went on in the quote-unquote dungeon, and if anyone did, their life was at stake. The armed guard stopped anyone who tried to enter. If necessary, he would shoot to kill. So I did not know this, but on June 7th, 1942, Japan had actually invaded Alaska. June 10th, U.S. Navy denied that it had happened. So the Japanese invaded and occupied the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. And it was secret because of security reasons, but also they said it was to avoid provoking a widespread panic across the United States. And I understand that because, you know, we're thinking back to the time where information was given by radio and everything came across the radio. So you think Orson Welles and reading of War of the Worlds in 1938, and so many people really did believe that this could have been happening. So you wonder, did they not talk about this? One, because it would have been very close on the continent of the United States, in the sense of continental United States, and so that panic wouldn't be there, because that is very close to home. And we, you know, a lot of the world saw the war as being overseas and away from the America, like it wouldn't affect us. So it was, you know, you think, okay, so let's not do this because we don't want the panic. But then it also takes me back to our original thing that we were talking about, which was fake news. Was this the first fake news? And since everyone did panic in the beginning and then they found out it was fake, Would they have thought it again? Would they have taken it seriously? So it's a book that I have just started. I'm about two chapters in right now. And I really, really like it. It's very informational, but it is given very smoothly, if that makes sense. It's an easy read. I really am enjoying it, and I cannot wait to share it with the students. It's going to be one that I think that they are going to enjoy, you know, at a time period that we just did not know about. Another book that I am in the reading is part of a series, and it is called the Cherub series. Now, I'm on mission 8 of the series, written by Robert Muckamore. And it is a series that I found actually when we lived overseas. This series starts with a boy who is James, who has a little bit of a troublemaker and a little bit of a lost soul. And it takes him into a program where he learns to be a spy for evidently the British, but he kind of learns along the way how to not only be a spy and infiltrate into different places, but he also learns to be a boy who has more confidence and can figure out some other life experiences along the way. I definitely recommend this for probably seventh grade and up. I don't feel that maybe our younger ones would enjoy it as much. My sons both have read it during their seventh grade year. And like I said, we were kind of given this information, the book, the whole series, when we were living overseas. So that helped a little bit too. My youngest one is now almost finished, and I am in the process, and I am on book 8. So I will keep going on that one. The last book I want to talk to you about today is called Someone, Somewhere, There Is Still a Sun. This is written by Michael Grunbaum with Todd Hasaglawi, and it's a memoir of the Holocaust. This is based on Misha, and actually who is Michael Grunbaum, enjoyed a carefree childhood playing games and taking walks through Prague with his beloved father. And all that changed when the Nazis invaded Prague. They were forced to move to a ghetto, and Misha and his mother and sister were deported to the Terezin concentration camp. Life there was bizarre, surreal balance, some days filled with friendship and soccer matches, while others there were terror, complete terror as the boys waited to hear the names on each new list of who was being sent, quote unquote, to the East, and the East was going to Auschwitz. It is very much an inspiring story of hope, and innocence, and the unforgettable memoir, and it recreates his experiences. It is very much, has original documents, and it has photos in it that really can contribute to this. This is one that my students haven't quite picked up yet. They kind of look at it and they're like, but I have the feeling that once I do a book talk on this to the students, that they are going to truly enjoy this. They have enjoyed a lot of the historical pieces that I've presented to them, and so I'm hoping that this will be another one. I shall definitely have to update you on their responses to all three of these books that I am in the process of reading as well. I thank you for your time today. I do want to let you guys know I'm really, really excited about this, that we are going to be able to definitely have an author that will be speaking with me. Hopefully it'll be the next time. I'm rearranging times. I've had three agree to do it. Super excited about that, talking about their books and asking them questions, and you just kind of seeing how their life is right now in the middle of all of this with their own children or their own families. So be looking for that. I'm looking to be able to do this every 2 weeks. So check back to see if you are on here, that, and you can always make comments. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving next week. I'm definitely looking forward to some eating good turkey and dressing. I call it traditional dressing, but we actually take the bread out for the night before.
that we are going to have a good Thanksgiving with our families. So please make sure that you guys stay safe. Remember to wear your mask, to wash your hands. That would be the biggest thing for us. But just to say, stay safe. Have a great holiday for Thanksgiving, and I will see you back in a couple weeks.